I just wrote on the board separate on purpose. I was thinking about some things and feel like the Lord's given me a few thoughts to share with us this morning. Thought about last week how we studied a little about starting. You know, at first, I was thinking about people building homes and building houses and how that they put a lot of thought into that, and they situate it just like they want it. We spoke of this last week, and they think about how they want their living room to be and their view out to the side and all of those things. And then they put a lot of work into that. And, you know, those things, in an earthly sense, they bring a sense of satisfaction to the one that puts all that labor into that. It's kind of enjoyable to sit down and look out and, you know, you just know all the labor that went into that to get to that point. But we thought about how that the Lord, He created us, and we know that on the 6 days of creation, the Lord said a number of times He created, and then He said, it says that He said it was good. And I believe the Lord took joy, He took satisfaction, He enjoyed seeing the work of His hands. The thing about the things of this earth is that there isn't any communication back to us. There isn't anything that the house is expendable. It may burn down tomorrow. It can never say, I love you. It can never give you any feelings of enjoyment other than just its use, and that's all. But you know, the Lord, when He made us, He really wanted, He created this whole thing for us, and He created us for Him. And I know that he did all things well, but you know, the Lord created us for Him. And it says then that He breathed the breath of life into man. And you see that. You see how that the Lord, I believe He lovingly did all of that. And then He saw that the man was alone, and so He made a helpmeet for him. And then we see Him walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And I believe that we see a picture here where God wanted a lot more than just inanimate objects. He wanted a lot more than just things that He put here. He created the trees, but you know, the trees can never tell God, I love you. They do exactly what God said to do. But we can tell God, I love you. And we can know the Lord because He created us a living soul. And He made us so different than all the other things. The other things was for our sustenance, for us that we might be able to serve the Lord. The other things was for us that we might enjoy what God has made here, that we might see His handiwork, the stars. I believe the Lord wanted us to get a vision of God and be able to see His infiniteness and realize this Almighty God is, this is just what He made. And you know, when we see all of that, we realize, I believe that God made you and me on purpose. He made us lovingly. He blew His breath into us, and He made us living. And He made us to love Him and to know Him. I really believe this morning that is the element that so many times we miss. That maybe people think of serving the Lord and they think, well, I got to quit this and I got to quit that. And you know what serving the Lord is? It's knowing Him. It's being His people, being one of His people. It's knowing the Lord. It's doing His will. It's obeying His commandments, because that's the relationship of love that God set up. He's the one that built the body. He's the one that built the rules. He's the one that said what it was about. And He said, if you love me, what did He say? keep my commandments. That's what the Lord said. And so we keep his commandments. But you know what? It's not just about keeping commandments, is it? It's about being what God created us to be. And this morning, I just want to bring a few thoughts I feel like the Lord gave me to us to recognize what God had in mind from day one. When he started creating, I don't believe that God didn't have a plan. I think he created the earth because he knew he was going to put man on the earth. And he created the things that live and that we eat because he knew we were going to need to eat those things. He created the mountains and the beautiful things of beauty because he wanted us to see them and he wanted us to see his handiwork. And so this morning, as we look into his word a little bit, let's open our view that God, he made us on purpose. And he doesn't want us to get lost in the world. And I'm saying the world, the things of the world, the pride of life and the lust for things of the sight of the eyes and the love of the lust of the flesh and all of those things. The Lord is looking for you and me this morning to know him. And to know him, we do have to depart from sin. That's what Adam and Eve's problem was. They knew the Lord. They had all of those things in all of its beauty, its pristine beauty, the Garden of Eden, and all of those things. But sin entered in, didn't it? And that's what God could not walk with. And so we see that today. God cannot walk with that. But you know, this morning, the Lord made a propitiation for that, didn't he? He made one in our stead to die for our sin, those wicked things we did. And he said that the law could never make the comers unto perfect. They could never have a perfect heart. They could never. Now, do we make mistakes? Yes. But do we openly sin? I don't believe God wants us to do that. I don't believe we have to do that. But there's something that God brought us through Jesus Christ, that grace and love and life came into us. And we want to look at some of the scriptures. You know, in Jeremiah 31 and 34, I believe the Lord enjoyed his walking with Adam and Eve. I believe he came down in the garden. That was the very thing I believe God made man for. And that's what he wanted. And that's what he enjoyed until he said to Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat there, you're going to die. So the Lord has something in mind for us. He wants our life to be full of life, full of his life, full of his love, full of his heart this morning. Let's look at Jeremiah 31 and 31 to 34. It says here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." You know, this was during the Old Testament times. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Is that right? Yeah. And Jeremiah knew there was a day coming when things was going to be different. When people actually could have it in their heart and not just written on tables of stone. And he said here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So is this just for the Israelites? Is this just for those people? You know, Isaiah proclaimed it all through that the Gentiles were going to flow into it, didn't he? And we see that one scripture, I just want to quote that. That's Romans 2 and 28. I'm going to read that, 28 and 29. He says here, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly." That was God's people all through the old covenant, wasn't it? But he said, "Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly." And circumcision is of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. So circumcision actually still is a part of God's plan, but it's in the spirit. Okay, let's read on here. Which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so the Lord still wants us to cut off the things of sin, of the flesh. And so when we read this here, he says that there's going to become a day that I'll make a new covenant with my people, with the house of Israel. That's with you and me. He told David that there would be one to sit on his throne forever. Where is he? Where is that one that sits on the throne of David? Is that not Christ? Does he not sit on the throne of David? Do we not see where spiritual Israel is today? It is you and me. When circumcision is of the heart, when the laws of God are written not in tables of stone to a people that erred continually, but upon the tables of our heart to those that God gives life to and that makes us able to live for Him and to serve Him pleasing. And so it says here, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Now what are those days? After those days? After when the time of Christ comes. And we see, we'll read this in a minute in the New Testament where the writer of Hebrews quotes it again, that this is what has happened. And it says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do we see that from the very beginning, did not God long for a people? Did not God long for a people to be separate unto Himself? Did He not long for Adam and Eve to not have their life defiled with the things of this world, with sin and those things and false things? God wanted Adam and Eve to be unto Himself. He created them for that. He come down in the garden and walked with them and talked with them. Do we not see that God wants the same thing today? Does He not want a people? He said, after those days, I'm going to make a new covenant with them. And I'm going to put my law in the inward parts and write it in their hearts. Now, where was the law written before? We've mentioned already several times, on tablets of stone, wasn't it? God wrote it with His finger on tablets of stone. And the children of Israel could only know what those things were and what they said. They could only read those words, but they could never have them in their heart. They could never find that real place with God that He really wanted. The Lord really wanted something more. So He said, there's going to be a time I'm going to have a new covenant with my people. You know, we're spiritual Israel today. Everyone that's saved is a part of spiritual Israel today. Thank the Lord. We don't have a book for somebody to write their name on, because when you get saved, God writes it in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're part of God's people. You know, the Lord wants to lead us then and to teach us. That's the way God's plan works. That's the way His new covenant is. It's not something somebody can join up with in the flesh as far as writing names or keeping numbers. It's a thing of the Spirit. It's something that God does. It's a work He does in the heart. And He wants with us then, not just in name. We can have His name. We can be called by His name. We can be written to as the church of God, of God's being, of who He is, of Him. We can, in name only, we could have that. But you know, or we can be God's. We can know Him. We can love Him. We can depart from sin and iniquity. We can depart from the false religions all around. The Lord wants those that will serve Him to be a separate people unto the Lord. Separate from the sins of the world all around us and the corruptions and the wrong ideas and motives of God. We find them everywhere. And they shall teach no more every man. Listen to this. They're not going to teach anymore every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. That's the most basic element of his people. When we're born of the Spirit, when we're saved, we can begin to know the Lord right then, can't we? And it says that they're no longer going to teach everyone to say, know the Lord. You know, we know that Ephesians 4 tells us that there's going to be teachers, there's going to be prophets, there's going to be, or anyway, it enumerates a number of ones there, pastors and teachers, and for the perfecting of the body of Christ, of the saints. But you know, this morning, we don't have to teach people to know the Lord. Because when we're born of the Spirit, the Lord comes and begins to work with us, doesn't he? And he's with us. And he wants to be in us. He wants us to submit our life to him, where then he can fill us with the Spirit when we have a clean vessel this morning. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And in Hebrews 8, it brings this to us again. And the New Testament writer, verse 7, Hebrews 8 and 7, says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You know, this morning, we all will know the Lord. That's what it says. And so while we do teach how to grow closer to the Lord, how to enrich our prayer life, and how to meditate on the words of the Lord, and how to reach him, how to trust him, you know, we teach those things, don't we? But the basic element is God wants to forgive our sins and put our life on a whole new direction, doesn't he? So this morning, I just want to bring a simple little message to us. God wants to know us today, and he wants us to know him. That's why he made us. That's the very plan. And if our life is only taken up with what we do and what we don't do, there's a whole vast universe there that the Lord wants to bring us into his presence. Did you know the Lord wants people to stand in his presence? There was a time when the presence of the Lord in its fullness stood behind a curtain in the temple. And anybody that would go in there was subject to die if they entered that, except the high priest once a year. And only by the cleansings and washings and sprinkling of blood and all of those things. And we find the high priest trembling going in there once a year. They say, from what I've heard and read, that they would tie something to his leg in case he was killed, in case he was not worthy to stand, and so they could pull him out. But do you know that when Christ died, what's it say about the veil of the temple? It was rent in twain, wasn't it? It was rent in two pieces, and the Spirit of the Lord came out to dwell in the hearts of men. And we see on the day of Pentecost where those clean hearts that had been repented and forgiven and began to seek the Lord, and how God filled them, and how their life became alive with the Spirit of the Lord, and how he told them in Acts 1, as soon, he said, You'll be empowered to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. You'll be able to be a witness of my grace, of my strength, of my power to the world all around. And so this morning, the Lord wants that to be the case in our heart and life. And as we seek the Lord and humble our hearts before Him, do you know God wants to fill us like that and wants to give us of His own goodness? You know, I was thinking, well, let's read 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 first. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, Paul is trying to draw some contrast here that we can understand. He said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? If the light's in there, the darkness is gone, right? The darkness begins to disappear immediately. The light comes on, the darkness is gone. And you can see, can't we? And he said, what communion does light have with darkness? And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Satan. What does Christ have with Satan? Does he have any concord with him? Is there any agreement? No, there's not, is there? We know that. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that wonderful? Here it is again. The Lord says, I want you to depart from these things because I want you to be my people. See, he could not walk with Eve if she embraced evil and God. God wasn't willing to do that. He's not willing to walk with us either if we embrace evil and God. And he tells us here, what concord or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? The idols all around us, the things people are building their lives upon, the idols of sports and money and lust and all of the things we see all around, and we see people involving themselves in that in spiritual ways. People in their claiming to be spiritual and involving them. And he says here, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? The idols all around us, folks, the Lord doesn't want us to have any agreement with those things. He doesn't want us to involve our lives with those things. He wants a separate people, a people that he can walk with, a people that he can come down in the cool of the evening or in the cool of the morning and speak with and give a little of his presence, a little of his word to. Is it impossible for someone to enter into the presence of the Lord now? No, it's not impossible. It's the very reason Christ came. He said, if I don't go away, I won't send, the Comforter won't come. You know, the Lord is looking to give to us some things that he wants to bless our lives with. And he wants us to search after him until we receive of him in his fullness. He says here, wherefore come out, let's see. What agreement doth the temple of God have with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now, he was in a literal temple before, wasn't he? But now, Paul said, you're the temple of the living God. Now then, he inhabits our body, doesn't he? He will actually live in people. And so it says here, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Lord's not looking for great numbers. He's looking for people that will be his people, and he can be their God. Very reason he made us, folks. He didn't make us to try to confine us in a box of some kind and somehow eke through. He made us to know him. He made us to walk with the Lord. He made us so that we would have grace from God. That comes from God. It comes from the Lord. It comes from when we humble ourselves. It says for us to humble ourselves and that the Lord would draw nigh unto us. And so that's what I believe the Lord is looking for to bless us with this morning. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't touch unclean things. Don't touch unclean wickednesses of the world or unclean doctrines, things that are not biblically sound. The Lord wants us to know what the Word says, to study it, to be students of the Word, to meditate upon it, to think about it, to let the Lord reveal to us His thoughts and His ways. And I'll receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, I know this is pretty strong teaching this morning, but we're just reading from the Word. And I believe the Word is pretty strong because God wants to walk with us, and His Holy Spirit did never allow people into that place that was not, in those days, ceremonially cleansed. And He still doesn't allow it today. The Lord wants to cleanse our heart. He wants to put His law in our mind. He wants to write it in our hearts and in our minds. And He wants a people that serves Him this morning. I was thinking about a few of the ones through the ages. Noah. Why did God destroy all the world? Because it was full of wickedness. And it says that people were only evil continually, I believe, is the way it says. And it speaks of violence being in the earth. Just full. The earth was full of violence, the Bible says. And do you know, God wanted a people, didn't He? And there was Noah. And so He destroyed those wicked and kept Noah, didn't He? And saved Noah. I think about Abraham. We talked about him a little last week. How God called him out. You know what he was wanting? He was wanting a people. God always wanted that. And He always does. He still does. What did He tell Moses when the people had so transgressed? He said, stand back, Moses. I'm going to destroy these people. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. Because they were wicked before the Lord. Do you know the Lord is still looking for people to depart and to be separate from the world of sin and wrong all around? God is still looking for that this morning. I believe He has a blessing for us in our homes. The Lord, I believe, wants our homes to be a sanctuary, folks. He wants it to be a place where God dwells. He wants it to be a place of peace, a place of honor, a place of righteousness. And the Lord can give that to us. And I thank God for that this morning. It comes from the Lord. What do we have to boast of? Nothing. Except that God has given us some good things, hasn't He? Doesn't the Lord want to give that to us? It starts within us, folks. Lord, help us to search after Him, to be His people, to be one of those that He does come by and actually talk to in the wee hours, whenever our time is. The Lord wants to come by. Now, does every day seem like a real blessing from God? No, but I want to tell you something. God wants to speak to us regularly. He wants to reveal His Word to us. He wants to reveal His thoughts. He wants to guide us continually. And He wants us to be able to hear His voice. He said, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in it. Walk ye in it. In Titus 2 and 11, want to read a little more. Now, why does it say all of these things? But listen to what the Word says. Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Thank the Lord. That includes me and you. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, denying ungodliness, denying, setting it aside, being separate from it, putting it away, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that really possible, or is this just the Word of God saying it? I believe the one that said it is the one that made it. He's able to make us live godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Do you know that's what the Lord, it says that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now that word peculiar, I think we need to know what it means. Because if you look it up in the Greek, it says beyond being usual. That is special. One's own. Now, peculiar. That's what it means. Now, if you thought that it meant weird or strange, that's not really what this word means. It means one's own. It means special. It may be different, but that's what the Lord wants his people to be this morning, is something that's not like the world. It's quite different. It's different unto God. We are different unto the Lord. We've forsaken the things that all the world spends their whole life looking for. Now, do we have to make a living? Yes. Do we set our hearts on it until that's all we can breathe and think about? No. We better not, because I'll tell you, we'll be missing some things. We'll be doing some things we shouldn't do. We'll be missing our time with the Lord. We'll be missing our time to have worship with our children at night and worship the Lord together and pray together. Those things that are most valuable, we'll miss those things, won't we? The Lord wants, he has such desire for us. When he blew his breath of life into us, it was because he loved us. He loved us. And it tells about his love in that he sent Christ to redeem us. Because when we did that, we lost our estate with God. We could only offer sacrifices, but he sent his son to redeem, to buy back, to bring back to where we were, to bring back to a place where God originally wanted us to be. He wanted to purify our hearts and clean our hearts. He wanted to make us in his image. See, that's what he made Adam and Eve. I don't believe for one minute God looks like me in the flesh. I hope not. But you know what? He wanted to make our spirit like his, because it says God is a spirit. That's who he is. And he wants to make us in his own image this morning. Lord, help us each one that we follow after God and search after him and love him and get to know him. That's what God came for. That's what he made us for. 1 John 2 and 15, we've read this plenty of times. We've all heard these scriptures a lot from probably wherever we've been. But it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, all three of those things are nothing more than a perversion of right things that God made. Do you know he wants us to have a certain amount of self-respect, but he just doesn't want us to have the pride of life. He doesn't want those kind of things. He wants us to enjoy the things he has made in this world. The things that our eyes see, I believe God wants there to be a certain amount of enjoyment to that. It's very enjoyable, the things God has given us or allowed us, rented to us, or just let us use while we're here. But you know, when those things are perverted and out of their place, that's when they become the lust of the flesh and of the eyes this morning. So Lord, help us. God's looking for a separate people. He's looking for a people that has forsaken everything to follow him and to love him and to serve him with all the heart and all the soul. I want to read that scripture, Mark 12 and 29. It says here, and Jesus answered, one of them asked, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jesus put that right in there, didn't he? He's not a multiplicity of lords. He's not a multiplicity of gods. He's not a multiplicity of ideas and ways. The Lord had his mind of things. And that's what he wrote to us. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Isn't that an awesome commandment this morning? And why did he want that? So that he could fulfill the very plan that he made us for, to walk with him, to speak with him, to love him, to love him on purpose. If there is no choice, it cannot be love. If we are forced, if we are as a tree, and God says, I want you to grow, and this is the genes in you, and this is the way it's going to be. Do you know that, the elements that make all of that, do you know that that's all that tree's going to do? But if God gives us a choice, then we can love him. And he tells us to love him with all the heart. That means that though we're tempted, we turn from that. Though the devil wars against us, we turn to serve the Lord. Though he places other things out there and asks us, bids us come, be a part of this. Don't you see how enjoyable all of this stuff is? And the Lord's looking for a people that on purpose, they separate themselves from the lust of this life and from the things of this life that would draw them away. Oh, this morning, I love that second commandment too. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's what Jesus told us. This is the new covenant. This is the one that's written on our hearts. You can't write these things on a stone and people be changed in their hearts by it. But if you write them with the finger of God on the heart, then things can be changed. So this morning, the Lord bless each one of us to find him and to allow the Spirit of God that place in our life. John 14 and 15, just a few more scriptures here. It says, ye are my friend, let's see. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, why is that? Because that's the way God said you love him. That's the way he built it in. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we can't love him without keeping his commandments. If we say that we love him and we hate our brother, he says we're a liar, doesn't he? So he says, keep my commandments. That only comes by the grace of God, doesn't it? All of these things come from the workings of the Spirit of God in our life. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Isn't that a blessed promise this morning? The Spirit of the living God, that they, the high priest alone, could go in his presence once a year, and only then, perhaps with something tied around his leg in case God struck him dead. And he tells us here, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What a blessing. What a purifying, Lord. Let us come before you. Let us humble ourselves. Let us cast out everything that would stop your working with us. I believe he told those folks in the first chapter of Acts to tarry there because he wanted them to seek his face. He wanted to deal with them. He wanted them to be thinking about God and God's dealings with them and their life before God. The Lord wants us to separate ourselves from the other elements of life, that we would on our own choose that for the center of our life. God wants us to choose Him for the center of our life. And He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And so, I appreciate those scriptures this morning. Malachi 3 and 14. Last book of the Old Testament. Now this was written, 400 years, I believe, before Christ. And there was no other inspired writings that I know of between that period. But it says here, ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Do we not see that all about us everywhere? Do we not see everywhere about us those that that work wickedness are set up? Do we not see them being bought off and things, the wickedness turning as if it was good and people putting wicked people in high places and doing all kinds of things? But it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, him that serveth Him not. And so this morning, I just want to close on that thought. You know, the Lord so loved when people spake of His name and when people hearkened. And in the midst of all of this wickedness and all of these things, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. You know, this morning, let's find this place with God. Is this a mirage or is this real? I believe it's the Word of God, and I found it to be real. And I just want to encourage all of us this morning that we search for the Lord, that we love Him, that we put away wickedness, that we put away wrong thoughts, wrong things. And will thoughts come to us? You better believe it, they will. They came to the Lord. The Lord was in that place of temptation, and Satan himself came and tempted Him, did he not? But yet we find where the Scripture says, yet without sin. He never was. He never failed of that. Do you know, the Lord knows we're going to be tempted, but He wants to live in our life. He wants our life to find deeper places in Him. Walk with Him. Find that grace that only Christ can give today. Let's look to the Lord for our lives. Lord, teach us Your ways and show us Your paths. You said there was going to be a people, and they were going to be Your people, and You were going to be their God. And I want to be one of those people this morning. Lord, help us each one. We appreciate being together. Amen.